Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks very much for the opportunity to contribute to discussions this afternoon. I think we are at a very interesting time at the moment, as has been clear, I think, from the various presentations this morning, that we have an idea of the outline of higher education policy indicated in the BIS white paper. And we're now in the stage where we're beginning to work through the implications of those policy initiatives and how they will work in practice in relation to particular operational details. And from our point of view in the Quality Assurance Agency, we have clearly a strong interest in the proposals around changes to the quality assurance framework and quality assurance regime. And essentially that's what I wanted to talk about this afternoon. The theme of the presentation is, will the new quality framework help enhance student experience? And I think that is a very pertinent question, and one which I'm very happy, as I say, to engage in discussion about. There are many facets to this. We've heard a lot this morning about the information dimension to influencing student choice and what reasonable expectations might be with regard to knowledge about the higher education system. As I say, from QAA's point of view, we are very focused currently on how we can make all of this work, and particularly in the proposals around a more risk-based approach to quality assurance and what a risk-based approach to quality assurance might look like in the context of the higher education sector in England, and particularly perhaps in this context about what the implications of those changes might be for student engagement and the student experience within institutions. So in a sense, that's the theme of what I would like to talk briefly about this afternoon. Before getting into that, let me just say a little bit about the background on student experience and where QAA is coming from, because I think, at least on paper, we have a reasonable track record in terms of our focus on student experience and encouraging student engagement within institutions more generally in terms of governance arrangements and involvement in representation and so on. And more specifically, in defining and encouraging a role for students in quality assurance processes within institutions. The student experience is a term which is used quite widely, and I think without necessarily a great deal of definition. We take the term student experience in the QAA to cover the full range of student experience within institutions, looking, as we do, in aspects of our code of practice, at the applications and admissions process. We look at the teaching and learning experience of students within institutions, the assessment arrangements, and advice and guidance, again, an issue that came up in this morning's discussion, and generally about how engaged students are in the management, organisation and delivery of learning within various institutions. And that forms a critical element, a focal element, of much of our review activity currently with institutions across the UK. As I say, I think we have something of a track record in this area, and it's not a new issue as far as the QAA is concerned. The enhancement-led institutional review programme in Scotland, which is about to enter into its third cycle, had built into it at the centre student experience and was a very clear commitment in terms of the operation of that process to understanding and reporting on and encouraging quality in terms of the student experience within institutions. And in institutional review in England, we've done similar things in terms of encouraging and supporting and promoting student engagement in quality activity. Those of you who have been through institutional review or institutional audit will know all about the student written submission, which was introduced in 2002. As an attempt to provide an opportunity for students to provide a different perspective on their experience within institutions. And student written submissions, when they were first introduced, I think were met by some with a degree of scepticism as to whether students would be providing information which the management of institutions were not fully aware of. And we did make the provision in the early days of allowing students to submit confidential student written submissions. Very few did, and I'm very pleased to say that the whole process of developing and providing student written submissions has proved to be generally quite a positive experience across the sector, generally now well shared with management and institutions, and providing for us, in terms of our review activity, a clear agenda in terms of discussions around the student experience. We now, in the new process in IRENI, as we call it, Institutional Review in England and Northern Ireland, have an important role for the lead student representative, that we engage with a lead student representative to assist in the process of designing and developing the review process, the review engagement with the institution. And, of course, we have student members of review teams since 2009 who have proved to be, I think, invaluable in terms of adding to the discussion and debate that takes place in review teams and providing us with a greater perspective on the student experience. And finally, in terms of our developments in this area, we have this year introduced the first of the thematic elements into IRENI, which is the first year student experience. And we are in the process now of gathering some very useful and interesting information from institutions about how they support their students in that first year in higher education, and which ties in quite well, I think, with some of the things that Will Archer was talking about this morning, that we may have the opportunity perhaps to compare notes on the outcomes of these activities at some time in the future. And lastly, I should also mention the UK Quality Code. You'll be aware of the fact that we are currently revising and reshaping what used to be known as the academic infrastructure. It now goes under the title of the UK Quality Code. And one of the sections of the Quality Code is specifically focused on student engagement. That is in preparation at the moment. It is due to go out to consultation, I think, in a week or so's time. Janet Borer is here this afternoon, who's leading on that area for QAA. And she tells me that there is an event in London on the 16th of March in which we will be inviting opportunities to share feedback on this section of the code in order to ensure that we have every opportunity to listen to comments about what is being proposed in that section of the code for managing student engagement within institutions. So a lot's going on is really the point I wanted to make, that we're not starting from a base level. A lot has happened over the past 10 years across the higher education sector, and I think it's fair to say that even before the current policy initiatives, there was a significant focus and engagement with students across higher education institutions. Also, on this particular topic, QAA has been involved constructively with NUS. We have for many years now run a program of activities called Quality Matters, or Quality Takes Time originally, in which we had encouraged representatives from student unions to develop their skills in terms of their representative roles within institutions, and provided advice and guidance about how students could engage in quality activities. This has culminated in the projects that we're running this year, the NUS QAA projects, financially supported by QAA, run jointly with the NUS, in which we are running three interrelated sets of activities. We are supporting a research program into the student experience, which is being carried out on our behalf by NUS, looking at a range of aspects of student engagement. We are providing additional training and support for student representatives in their role within institutions, and we are offering bespoke support for students' unions in a number of institutions in order to help them in the process of developing their activities and establishing their role. This, I think, is an indication of our commitment to this area of activity, but it's also throwing up a lot of very useful information for us in terms of our understanding about how students perceive their own roles within institutions, and particularly around one of the themes of the conference about the whole idea of partnership, of not just making a role for students or recognising that students have a role to play, but genuine partnership within institutions between the interests of students and the interests of management in institutions in developing effective mechanisms for quality assurance at all levels within the institutional structure. That's by way of background, and I said really what I want to talk about this afternoon is the new quality framework. And as with others this morning, speculating about the future, where is this all taking us in terms of the quality assurance regime for the future in the higher education sector in England? There is a degree, I think, of uncertainty at the moment. That's an understatement. Everyone is talking about uncertainty in the higher education sector and lack of clarity about where the policy directions will take us as a sector in the future, and particularly about the longer-term implications of some of the more fundamental changes which are being ushered in by the new policy initiatives. Students at the heart of the system clearly is the subtitle of the white paper, and I remember that Yes Minister sketch many years ago where you put on the front cover of the report the issues which you're not really able to deal with in terms of the content of the report itself. And there's a sense of that about it, that there is a commitment to student focus and student engagement, but the actual white paper itself doesn't spell it out in any great detail. And I think it's left for us really, in a sense, across the sector to work on the principles of providing a more student-focused approach to quality assurance for the sector. Impact of student choice is considered to be one of the most important and significant factors in this revised landscape for higher education provision. And again, there's been much talk about what the consequences will be of the new fee arrangements, of putting, in effect, the resources in the hands of the students and giving students the opportunity to exercise choice as to where they will study. That's the principle. Of course, it doesn't work so well when you still have student number controls in the sector, and the impact and implications of the core and margin initiatives clearly are still being worked through. But in principle, at least, in the new regime, students should have more of a say as to where they wish to study and how they make those decisions, and whether their choices are going to be influential in terms of the response from institutions with regard to quality assurance and quality provision. I think is one of the areas where it's yet unclear how that will work in practice. In a purely simplistic way, the idea that in a free market for higher education, quality will determine where students choose to study doesn't really work in the context of the higher education sector, because we have a diverse sector, many different types of institutions with different types of offer to students, and students will choose on a basis of a range of different factors, as again we've learned, as to where they think they will get the best deal for themselves in terms of their experience of higher education. And that isn't exclusively or necessarily correlated to the programme of study. It's much wider than that in terms of the totality of experience. And also, it doesn't necessarily correlate specifically to the way in which quality is currently managed across the sector. I think there are many other factors that need to be taken into consideration. Also, in the consideration of a new quality framework, I think it's important to bear in mind that what we're talking about is a framework and not just a new quality method. The risk-based approach to quality assurance is, as I say, the focus of much interest and attention at the moment. But you need to see quality in the broader context of all aspects of quality provision. And our work on the quality code, the advice and guidance that provides for institutions, the support we provide through our various activities in developing activity within institutions, and the more routine aspects of monitoring activity across the sector and reporting on that activity and intervening in cases where there are particular issues or concerns about quality, all make up the overall framework for quality assurance across the sector. But as I say, most interest, I think, at the moment is on the proposals around a risk-based approach to quality assurance. The white paper makes it clear. There is an expectation in the white paper and also in the technical consultation that followed that there would be significant deregulatory benefit from the changes that are being proposed to the higher education system. And that deregulation, which is very much a theme of the current government, was focused specifically in a number of places in the white paper on quality assurance and a belief, an understanding that we've now had 20 years of quality audit in the UK, that by and large institutions have demonstrated their capacity and capability of managing the quality of their provision. There have been no systemic weaknesses as such identified through the work of the QAA and its predecessor organisations, and a sense that maybe now is the time to take a step back and do rather less reviewing and rather more recognition of track record, so that the efforts of the agency should be focused more specifically on those areas where there's perceived to be a higher degree of risk to quality and standards of provision. That's the basic approach and the basic idea. and one which I think has some degree of support across the sector. The reality of how that will work in practice is something that we are currently engaged in discussions with the Funding Council about. HEFCE has been given the responsibility to come forward with proposals for a risk-based quality assurance system and to identify the trigger factors that might initiate review activity conducted by the QAA. And in those discussions, there are a number of issues which are currently being looked at as to how we might achieve these objectives. One is to look at the frequency of visits to institutions. We currently operate a 6-year cycle. One of the proposals that we might move to an 8-year or a 10-year cycle for institutions that, on the grounds that there is less of a need for such regular engagement with institutions. Another proposal is to look at the intensity of engagement, whether the full-blown institutional audit with the 2-stage engagement with institutions through a briefing visit and a 5-day audit visit, whether that is necessary in all cases and whether or not we might not focus our attention more specifically on areas where there may be a greater degree of perceived risk. And the one which is often quoted is collaborative or validation activity by institutions, where experiences recently in some parts of the UK have given rise to obvious concerns. The question, I think, is not so much how do we resolve these operational matters? What is the best way to bring in a more risk-based approach to quality assurance? The question in this context is about how does that impact on student engagement and student experience within institutions? And I think there is a real danger that we might lose some of the things that we've achieved over the past 10 years in terms of encouraging and developing student involvement in quality assurance if we take a rather different approach to the way in which we conduct our review activity across the sector. We believe it's important that there is a focus on enhancement in the new review method. We don't want to lose that aspect of quality assurance. And there is a danger that in a more risk-based approach, the focus is perceived to be very much more on those areas that are at risk, that we simply look at the problems, the concerns, the issues across the sector, and we don't provide the same opportunity that we do at the moment for reporting on good practice. And we've always argued that quality assurance should be an enhancement process, that the outcomes of audit are not just the report that we write about the institution, but that audit is a system. It's a process which encourages action planning. It encourages investment and commitment to quality within institutions. And you can see in the longer term how the impact of QAA's activities has brought about various changes across the sector. So there is a danger, I think, if we go down this route of being very much more specific about looking at problems and issues, that we may not provide the same opportunities for developing enhancement across the sector more generally. And in that context, I think the role of students is particularly significant. We've come a long way. I think there's further that we could travel in terms of promoting and supporting the work of students. But if we don't provide the right opportunities in a revised approach to quality assurance, there is a danger that we don't capitalise on what has been achieved so far. Provision of information, clearly covered this morning in the various presentations, and critical to this new quality framework. It's been very interesting this morning to listen to the various initiatives and ideas, and particularly to see how some institutions are building on the principles of public information in order to address the genuine interests of students in terms of their ability to make informed choices. And finally, under this new framework, the response to complaints and concerns, again, contribution from Rob Behrens this morning on what's happening currently, we recognise that in a more risk-based system, there will be a need to be responsive to issues that are identified within institutions. And there's been much speculation as to whether students will become more engaged in complaining when they are responsible for supporting more of the financial investment in their higher education provision. We have a scheme, a concern scheme, which provides us with the facility to investigate if there are reported issues within institutions. That scheme's been in operation now for 3 or 4 years, and there has been a fairly steady but not significant rise in the number of complaints that we've received. Where I think this is particularly significant is where things do go fundamentally wrong with particular student experience. And it's reinforced, I think, the need to have this facility to be able to respond to concerns as and when they arise. The case of the University of Wales, I think, is very well publicised, but some of the partners of the University of Wales, some students had experienced some very serious and very concerning issues with regard to the changes that have taken place. And that, I think, highlights and illustrates the need for a quality system to be responsive to those sorts of issues when they occur, and perhaps shifting the balance in the way in which we approach quality from one of routine reviewing on a cyclical basis to one of being more focused in terms of intervening when there are issues concerned with student experience. So that's where we are with the quality framework. I just wanted to finish by adding a couple of comments about what makes a difference and what is important in terms of the student experience in institutions. And again, we've heard much about this in some of the presentations earlier. Contact time is often quoted as being an issue that certainly BIS has taken a keen interest in terms of the activities of institutions, and was the most controversial aspect of the KIS when it was being developed as to whether or not it should include details on contact time or modes of learning within institutions. And the point's already been made about not looking at crude measures of time on timetable, but the importance of the quality of contact and how students engage in the learning process, how they're supported within institutions in terms of the approach to autonomous learning, and particularly whether or not students can gain access to contact as and when they need it through the learning experience within the institution. Learning resources, I think, often overlooked in the discussion about enhancing and improving the learning experience in institutions. I would guess that the single most significant factor that has led to improvements in the quality of learning in institutions over the last 10 years has been the investment in new buildings, investment in learning resource centres, investment in teaching facilities, new laboratories and so on. These do make a significant impact on the learning experience of students and can have a lasting impact in terms of the quality of their learning within institutions. So learning resources are important, and in the feedback that we've picked up from students through our activities, there's a recognition of the importance of the quality of the learning environment within the institution, which ties in, I think, very well with the sorts of issues that are currently being discussed about how institutions might invest in order to ensure that students are gaining the quality of learning that they might expect from their fee investment. And finally, student involvement. I mentioned earlier that what we have sought to achieve is a move from simply engaging with students, encouraging students to be involved, to genuine partnership with students. I mentioned the NUS QAA projects, which are a partnership approach to conducting research and learning more about student expectations across the sector. And I think that's the direction for the future. We want to get away from the sense of student involvement, almost in the sense of being a tokenistic gesture within certain circumstances where it's seen necessary to have a student on a committee or necessary to engage students in various activities, to one where students are seen as partners in the process of learning, development and delivery. And that, I think, is where in the future the key to quality assurance might lie in terms of an enhanced and strengthened relationship with students within institutions for the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.